What's up, soccer fans? Mike Guglielmi, Sons of a Pitch, Soccer Central, episode number 224, the MLS Cup recap episode. On this episode, we're going to talk everything MLS Cup 2021. We got a couple special guests in the house, Mr. DSO and Mr. Daniel Young, diehard NYCFC fans. Gentlemen, how are you tonight? Oh, you're still on mute.
I was waiting for Daniel to go first, but I'll start. Still in shock. Just can't believe that we actually done it. You know, it's built a young team, and you know, we're finally here. You know, ever since we had got David Villa, Andrea Pirlo, Frank Lampard, it just looked like this team was going to win early on, and it just never happened for us until now. And it was supposed, as the podcast said, for extra time, it was supposed to be the revolution's year, but it just didn't happen for them, and we kind of jumped a few years ahead. I'll take it.
Absolutely. Daniel, how you doing, man? Oh, he just messaged in the private thing. He's having some connection issues. So, and there he goes. Just fell off. Well, look, we got Rocky in the house there. My green and gold broken heart is here. Congrats to DSO.
Thank you. Commiserations, Rocky. It's very heartbreaking. I know how you feel. Trust me.
Yep, for sure. We got Cameron Young in the house, a new Wiseman, Isaiah Paskins. We got Zachary Harden in the house as well. Let's talk about this. MLS Cup 2021, New York City goes on the road and puts in a performance, man. I mean, this was a performance by New York City. For about 75 minutes of this match, I was like, this is a complete beatdown. Just from start to 75th minute, it was all New York City. It was nothing Portland could do about it. Talk to me as a fan, DSO. What was going through your head when, like, either before kickoff or then once you once you got into the game and kind of what you were seeing and what you were thinking?
Before the game, you know, just the whole build of ever since the final whistle from the Philadelphia game is Daniel's back. He's on a bus. So just the buildup in general, the whole week, looking forward to MLS Cup, ever since the final whistle from the Philadelphia game, I've just been really nervous. I'm like, I can't live with the fact that I get to see my team go this far into a playoff and they're going to let us down in the biggest game of the year. It just felt that way. The second you see Mora put the ball into the back of the net, it just felt that way as a New York fan. You know, being there through so many painful playoff failures and just years where you think it's your year and just capitulate in the last moment. You know, I've been there in person, the Pozuelo Panenka penalty. You know, it felt almost exactly like that, but just 10 times harder. And, you know, just to show that Portland had the momentum in the second half, in extra time, and, you know, just for us to hold on to penalties, and then Sean Johnson coming up massively in the first two rounds of penalty kicks, denying Valeri and Mora. It just felt, ever since Maxi put that penalty away, it just felt like we were going to win it.
Yeah, Daniel, all right, man, you're back. So we're talking about our thoughts of a New York City fan during MLS Cup. What was it like? What was going through your head during that game?
I was actually thinking back to the 2020 MLS playoff first round matchup that I was on live with Ryan Anderson, and I was thinking back to that game and, you know, how the season ended, you know, due to Gudmundur Thorarinsson and his miss, you know, against a defender that pretty much became a goalkeeper by emergency, and how heartbreaking that was. And thinking back to the players that, you know, needed to move on, according to Ronnie Dalia, because of coaching. He said that the locker room wasn't right. You know, you had guys that were more so worried about individual success as opposed to the collective. And obviously, you saw Alex Ring go off to FC Austin, you know, Austin FC, and you saw the the Costa Rican international move on Matarita, move on to FC Cincinnati, and you know, thinking about how the roster has evolved from there. Before the game, that's what I was thinking. And we actually controlled the game, I would say, from the first minute to about, I would say, the final, until about the 60th minute when Portland made their substitutions. And obviously they tied it up. They controlled extra time. I was pretty much expecting Portland to finish that chance, especially Diogo Valeri. If he just shot it himself, I think it would have ended up in the back of the net, and I would have started crying of heartbreak. But Alexander Kynes, oh my days. I'm sorry about that, guys. I'm just thinking about Alexander Kynes, and he pretty much just slammed it in. He pretty much just kicked it with so much force. And you know, a lot of the soccer fans in New York City, at least on the blue and white side of New York City, were so happy. And this one counts. This championship counts.
Yep, absolutely. I mean,
that absolutely. It's a major league. I've seen,
right.
Unfortunately, I've seen New Yorkers on Twitter just be angry. I think they're just angry that the fact that the Giants, the Yankees, the Knicks, they just can't win anything. They just can't compete anymore. You know, because back then we had the Yankees constantly winning World Series. You had the Giants going back to back, you know, defeating Tom Brady in the Super Bowl, ending the perfect season for the Patriots, making them go 18-1 with that helmet catch from David Tyree back in 07. I think those are the moments New York sports are all about. And I just think that I think they're going to have a hard time accepting that especially within the past 10 years, we haven't had a moment like that, you know, when the stakes are high and there's a New York team and it's a championship on the line. I think it's going to take a little bit of them getting used to. I think they'll eventually embrace what NYCFC is going forward. And, you know, hopefully De Blasio interviewing James Sands earlier today in a live press conference, you know, and New York City finally getting the mainstream media attention it deserves as a football club. And with Mayor-elect Eric Adams set to take office in 2022, I genuinely think that there is a very, very good chance that NYCFC will finally get a stadium later in the 2020s. I genuinely think we just proved to the whole city, we just proved to 8.8 million people that we can win championships in the sport. It's not like the Yankees this year where they can accept mediocrity. It's not like the Mets in 2015 where they were so close and they lost to the Royals in the World Series, or the Rangers in 2014. You know, so we just proved to everybody that we can win championships, and we even got the president's attention. You know, 3 minutes before the whole stream, Joe Biden tweeted at us, and we never know. We might even get TJ from Side Talk NYC to the White House. He might finally give Byron that big old kiss he wants to give him.
There you go, man. No, this game was fantastic, and I hope that it ends up turning into a stadium for New York City. I think if with them winning that, how can you not have this team in a brand new stadium soon? You know, it's just crazy to me that it's even still a conversation, because it's coming for sure very, very soon.
Technically speaking, Yankee Stadium is now a soccer specific stadium now, with the MLB being in a lockout.
Hey, there you go. Right,
we might not even have to play games at Citi Field next season. They might not even get a season.
Yeah, I mean, that's you know, that's what's up, guys. What do you need? Why are you here? You should be asleep.
Keep coming into my room.
No, they're watching.
Get upstairs and go to sleep.
Yeah, no, we're not. We're playing a song.
I'm live right now. Okay?
They're watching. So, all right.
Good night. Go to bed. Yeah, give me the phone and go to bed. All right, never a dull moment here at Sons of a Pitch, that's for sure. But as far as the game itself, I mean, New York City, when they, you know, they came out to play. Portland, I figured that Portland was going to come in and they were going to press like crazy, not give much time to New York City. on the ball after seeing how well that worked against NYCFC in the conference final with Philly when they were undermanned. And New York City didn't have Toddy either. But still, you know, I thought Portland was going to have that game plan, and they didn't. They totally stepped away from it. They gave way too much time for New York City to work, and it was all NYCFC. I mean, this was, you know, this was similar to me in like in 2016, where it was just all TFC. Like, you're like, okay, this team is going to win this game. The other team has zero answers for them. And, you know, Tati gets the goal in the 41st, the 41st minute. And Brother BKL, I see you in there, man. Come on in the studio. And as soon as you come in, I'll add you into the stream. Click that link that I sent you. So we, anyways, it was a domination party by New York City up until, you know, it was probably maybe the 75th minute or so, and it started to turn a little bit towards Portland. What was the biggest thing to you for why New York City was in such control?
Possession, just keeping possession of the ball. I said it in the preview, man. If you keep possession of the ball, no matter what you do with it, the only person you can hurt is yourself with it, because you're in control of the ball. You can do whatever the want. You can do whatever the hell you want with the ball if you have possession, and you can even hurt yourself. Just look at what happened at Citi Field against Toronto. They're playing headers only near the box, and Maxime Cheneau decides to head it back. Pozuelo gets a touch, slots it past Johnson, and we're down 1-0 coming off halftime. So, you know, I think for my money, Alexander Callens has been the MVP throughout the playoffs. If there was a playoff MVP, Alexander Callens, 100%, there's no contest. He is the MVP of the playoffs in 2021 because him and Cheneau eliminated those mistakes. You know, Johnson came up big in the occasions when he was called upon. You know, defensively, we were really good up until that moment when Portland got the equalizer. There was literally 7 seconds left in stoppage time, and Portland scored. And, you know, it just felt like the writings were on the wall that NYC, if this was going to be Portland's win. And it just seemed like we were going to lose in the biggest game of the year. You know, I was nervous because I'm like, I'm not sure. Like, is this team really going to deliver? Or is this team just going to shit the bed like it always has in the playoffs? But you know what? We finally got it over the line, and here we are. We're the champions of Major League Soccer, getting national attention from the president. Just, you know.
Does it feel good?
Yeah, of course it does.
That's awesome, man.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure if any other president acknowledged another MLS champion.
I don't know.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think we're the first MLS team to get the president's attention.
Yeah, maybe. I honestly don't know. You know, but that it did seem when that first goal for Portland came in right at the death, the momentum was there for them for the next 15 minutes or so.
Yeah.
And then it was like then New York City hit a switch again to say, you know, we got to switch this up and fix it for the second half of extra time. But one thing I do want to touch on, though, you brought it up with Callens, right? As like a playoff MVP and all that. I have been very hard on Cheneau and Callens for pretty much the entire time we've had a podcast.
Hey, you got to lay it off, man. You got to lay it off.
I am here to admit that I was wrong. I am wrong on that one. And that is, you know, they're good. They're obviously the best center back pairing in the league right now, with a cup to their name. So, you know, I screwed that one up. I mean, they've gotten much better over time. And I'm sure you guys can admit as NYCFC fans, there's been a lot of mistakes by those guys in years past, but this year they have been extremely solid. Even towards the end of last year, they started really picking it up, but, you know, they've been solid, unbelievable. And that steadiness at the back, man, there was not a worry all day when you got those two there. And then Sean Johnson, you know, and Sean Johnson, that was he. I see why he got MLS Cup MVP. He was just unbelievable in that penalty shootout. But overall, going into that penalty shootout, I'm like, man, I'm torn on where the hell, you know, where that's going to be. You know, who's got the edge in penalties? you know, I'm like, well, with Portland, some of their takers, and, you know, I think goalkeeping wise, there was no question, Sean Johnson, and that position by position breakdown in the preview definitely came out good for that. But, you know, I didn't know where I was going. What was going through your mind in penalties? Because I've been there when it's my team, and I think that's one of the, like, most just raw emotions out there. Like, what was going through your head? Like, what were you saying to yourself when this is going into penalties? Were you confident? Were you, like,
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. No. I was confident we were going to lose.
Okay.
It just seemed like another Rodrigo Salegol situation was going to come up, and we're going to fucking lose with a left back and goal. You know what?
Steve Clark is really, really far from being a left back. But, yeah. You know, that just, man, I can't even. I mean, I remember with TFC, I was in the building, and, you know, I was just shaking, like literally shaking. It was standing up. And maybe I was shaking because I was freezing to death, but it was freezing that night. But it was like I just kept telling myself, like, all right, we've dominated this entire game. We're going to get screwed. And I had that same, like, negative energy, right, like in my head going, oh, God, it's, you know, we're screwed.
For me, if I feel like if you have negative energy and something positive comes up, it just lifts you to another level of positivity. So very, very counteractive to what people would tell you. But. That's just the way I see things.
Yeah. No, I hear you, man. I hear you. All right. So we got a bunch of comments coming through in here. We got Jay Jardim in the house, Connor, Ryan Anderson, whole bunch of people. Edwards in the house as well, Alejandro. So look, if you guys, you know, if anybody has any questions for DSO and Brother BKL, if you're still out there, man, I see you saw my message with the link. Try clicking that link from your phone, but see if you can't get in there. But I mean, where was I going to next? But you know, this, if there's any questions, guys, let us know for DSO from a fan perspective. But overall, New York City MLS Cup champions 2021. I mean, what else is there to say other than a great performance on the road to pull out that victory? I mean, that's, I think, something that a lot of people kind of
forgetting the highlight of MLS Cup. The real highlight, and that's Ronnie Dyla doing push-ups in his underwear.
Yep, I saw that. He's a man of his word, you know. But man, that was I saw that tweet. I'm like, Jesus, that's crazy. Mm-hmm. And Ronnie Dyla was on the hot seat. You know, that's what a comeback there. You know, that was looking like trouble for them, and then all of a sudden, midway through the season, there was like that was just an afterthought. So. All right, we got Zachary's got a question for you. He says, DSO, what player would you hate to lose during the expansion draft? And we're going to talk about the expansion draft.
Tinnerholm, 100% Tinnerholm.
Yeah.
And he's left unprotected for some reason. But you know what? It's rumored that Jesus Medina would be taken. So you know what? I've given Medina so much shit. He's an MLS Cup champion. You know, we're going to send him off for the championship and a ring on his finger. And he's gonna be playing in a blue shirt, but it won't be in championship blue.
Championship blue. I love it. So DSO, we got another one here. Ryan Anderson says, do you think that Tavon Gray can build on this playoff run and be breakout player of the year next year?
Absolutely. Absolutely. He can. He's been thrusted into a tough situation. You know, Tinnerholm getting that season ending injury back in October, and Tavon Gray barely had any minutes in MLS. He had a fantastic preseason. Well, he had a fantastic game against DC United, just ripping DC United's defensively down that right hand side. He was absolutely brilliant in that game. So 100%, he could definitely be the breakout player of the year next season.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, he, you know, homegrown kid. Nothing was expected out of him this season at all.
Youngest player to start an MLS Cup final.
Not bad. So, you know, it was this kid. Came up and was put into a really tough spot and did really, really good. You know, to the point where you couldn't tell the kid was a homegrown player, you know, that had as little experience as he had when you were watching it. So as far as the expansion draft goes, we're going to touch on that here in a little bit. I do want to wrap this segment up, and we'll do the sponsor break, And then as soon as that is done, we got John Donovan's update on the podcast side. And then we'll talk about the expansion draft and kind of what looms forward for MLS next season.
This episode of Sons of a Pitch, an American soccer podcast, brought to you by Nice Premium Iceland Pure Spring Water. Also by Donovan Food Brokerage, a sales and marketing firm focused on food service sales in the Midwest. And lastly, by Skira, Icelandic spring water available at your local 7-Eleven. And now it's time for our weekly Chicago Fire update, brought to you by John Donovan. Take it away, John.
Mike, this is John Donovan, following the Chicago Fire in the MLS. Really sort of missed the league already. I watched the championship. It was a super exciting game. Can you imagine the last minute of overtime or the last minute of extra time in the game? Portland coming back and scoring, just incredible. And that experience out in Portland, I've been to one game at that stadium. And it just reminds me of a place like Stuttgart, Germany, or a Spanish game. Super exciting atmosphere. Wonderful game. Great way to finish off the season. Mike, I can't help but looking at the Chicago Fire's roster for next year. And it is incredibly weak. Probably one of the weakest rosters they've had going into a new year. And that says a lot. I've gone through the roster a number of times, and I've come up with about six players that probably are of MLS quality that can go out there and participate. That would be Pineda, Federico Navarro, Herbers, who really, with the Union, was a come-off-the-bench guy, Slovina, which he's a super goalie. I mean, I think he's going to be good. Miguel Navarro from Venezuela, he's a player, they have him listed as a fullback, but my Lord, he gets overpowered back there. He could be a decent midfielder on the left side. Olmsberg, who I think has some talent down the middle. He looks like a smart kid from Dartmouth. And Bornstein. And other than that, Mike, I just can't pick out. They have Carlos Terran, who is hurt constantly and is a walking red card. They have Alceda, who got suspended for a game for missing a game being drunk. They have Jimenez about the same way. Both of them have options, and the Fire have not yet picked up those options. I've heard that Jimenez is wanted in Argentina, Alceda in Europe, and honest to Lord, if you're going to start, might as well start again from scratch. Ezra Hendrickson, I wonder whether you picked the right job. You know, Mike, when I played, and I've heard this many, many times, soccer, like probably even like baseball in a sense, but you got to be strong down the middle. I mean, your center forward has to be there. Your midfielder has to be there, center mid, and your center defense has to be strong. And you can build out from that. You know, if you put Pineda back in the center fullback, you probably have one of those spots fairly strong. He's a real talented, tough kid. That can play defensive midfielder or fullback. Federico Navarro is a decent, again, defensive midfielder. But when you go forward on the Fire, right now they have no forward line. They have a guy named Offer from Nigeria who, as Tony Miola said, he just doesn't think he's MLS quality. And I have to agree. I think he had something like two goals this year, and it was a struggle. I mean, he played quite a bit and offered very little. And they had Alceda off to the left. Now, you know, this will be the third year for Alceda. His first 2 years were just not good. You know, they opened up the season with the Polish kid that they traded over to France. They have Ivanov, who came off of a knee injury. He didn't do much. Herbers, who was a pretty strong player. But the Fire, you know, they have dates that are coming up. The December 14th expansion draft. I don't expect anybody to take any of the Fire players, honest to Lord. December 15th is the waiver free agency offers. And I have looked around the league, and there are some decent players that maybe could fit into the Fire. There's no real offensive guys out there. The teams are really bogarting these teams. These offensive guys. December the 17th is the re-entry draft. I hope the Fire pick up somebody. Austin has a couple of guys that are out there. January the 11th, to me, is a big date. The Fire have not taken advantage of the college draft for years since they took a kid from Stanford. I mean, they have passed, even when they held the college draft in Chicago, they traded away all their drafts. Under Pano and Rodriguez, it was a disaster, the draft. And, you know, you look at the Union and the Revs and even Orlando with DK up front, they're all college guys. They're well-trained. They're smart. They come into this league ready, especially the first five or six guys. And the Fire will be there in that position to pick up a good guy. Hopefully, George Hinds has learned his lesson about ignoring American players. I mean, that is a great strength to pick up guys. You know, it's hard to believe this, but January 16th, some of these camps, the preseason camps, are opening. January 16th, the season starts February 26th. So we're, you know, about 6-7 weeks away from opening of the preseason camps. The Fire don't have that many guys on the roster. Most of them, they've got a lot of homegrown guys. You know, it's going to be a really difficult year, I think, for the Fire, unless they can pull some real rabbits out of the hat. They're going to be giving up players to the new Charlotte team, and then the next year, the St. Louis team. So I really wish Ezra Henderson the best, but I don't know whether he picked the right team to come with. Joe Monsanto, you know, he's hired people all around this squad, business guys to support all kinds of developmental programs, but he's forgot about this team. You can't have 8,000 people in the stadium and expect to grow this product in Chicago. You've got to put something out there that's competitive, exciting, and professional. And last 2 years since George Hinds has been here, that has not been the case. So that's it, Mike. Wish I had some more to say. I will soon. I'm trying to follow any lead or any, you know, I've been told that they're going to pick up some Mexican DPs. So I'll be back. Take care, Mike. Have a good day.
Thanks for that Chicago Fire update, John. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, back at it here from that quick break there on the podcast side. So expansion draft. There are some unbelievable names on this expansion draft list. I am if I am somebody in play for Charlotte in that front office, I am excited with some of these players that are out on this list. I know you were saying something about some rumors going on with Medina picked up. I mean, is there, you know, what are your thoughts on anybody? Have you heard any other rumors of guys that are supposedly getting picked up off this list?
No, not that I know of at the moment. I just know about Jesus Medina. You know, thank God he's leaving. you know, when he's playing well, he's a good player. But, you know, he's just been dipping in form recently. To be fair, he did have a good game on Saturday. He was linking up with Max Morales really well. Had a chance. If Maxie shot it, that could have ended up in the corner. You know, him and Maxie just linking up in the box right there. I think Medina's game on Saturday was all right. I think if he was able to outrun Diego Chara 1v1 with Steve Clark, there's a 50-50 chance that he could have put in the second goal, and, you know, we wouldn't be having to go all the way to penalties. That would have been the nail in the coffin.
Yeah.
And, you know, so we'll send him off with a championship ring on his finger. And when he comes back to New York, we'll give him a standing ovation for sure, because he was part of the super citizens of 21.
Right. Yeah. No, I thought Medina played really well. I guess my expectations are low for him. Because of how bad he's played lately. But, you know, I thought he played really well in MLS Cup. And that's a good pickup. I mean, something to grow with. You know,
the only reason I would have started him in MLS Cup,
yeah,
is for substitutions for Talis Magno and Thiago. Thiago, he didn't even come off the bench.
Right.
Talis Magno had I'll be honest, he had a poor penalty. He's just lucky Steve Clark dove over the ball. but I'm not complaining.
Yeah, no, that I thought Talis Manuel did well when he came on to the field and played well. But as far as that penalty, oof, damn, that was a bad penalty. But there were a few bad penalties in that shootout. Some of the names that really stand out to me. I think the one that I want to see get picked the most is Kakuta Mane. He's been left unprotected by Austin, and this guy, I feel like he's been in like four or five expansion draft picks. So I'd love to see this guy get picked up. But some other names, I mean, there's some big name players from Chicago. Robert Berich is a serviceable striker there that scored goals in MLS, I think, but they would have to negotiate the contracts and all that kind of stuff. Whereas there, a new Wiseman says Charlotte can take Jürgen Damm, that guy. My God, what a mess! I thought he was going to be a hell of a lot better than he was coming over from Tigres, but man, it was ugly. So we got Vito Warminger on the expansion draft list, says Connor from Columbus. Yeah, that I was never a really big fan of the Worm there, but there's a few guys that are unprotected. That are out there. Brian W says draft Montero. Oh man, no, there's lots of
surprisingly, we're letting go of Gudmundur Terrarenson, who scored that free kick in Atlanta. If it wasn't for that free kick, we wouldn't be talking about an NYCFC championship. So right. it's either they're negotiating a cheaper deal, or they're gonna let him go as a free agent.
Yeah, I'm guessing they're just gonna let him go. That stopped the run bad form for New York, that crazy free kick. And from that point on, it's been history is written now. But Toronto FC, I want to talk about Jozy Altidore being there's now been two reports saying, okay, he's even come out and said, yep, I'm not coming back to TFC, it's over, whatever. And he's still on the roster, it's all still in place, and they don't even put him out in the expansion draft. What the hell are they thinking? Charlotte could get a USMNT striker up top. That would be beautiful, but they don't want to do it. I don't know.
They can have Medina playing striker for them. I don't mind.
What's that?
They can have Medina playing striker for them. I don't mind.
There you go. Well, Medina linking up to Jozy Altidore, right? Oh my God. But no, there's some players there from TFC. Kamar Lawrence, good experienced, wing back. That might be something that that they want to look at as well, Charlotte there. But some other things through the league. I mean, a lot of players that got left out of contract and whatnot. You've got the free agency starting up as well. Some good options on there as well, depending on, Francisco Calvo has been rumored, a lot of teams interested in him. As well, we've got, DC's got a couple guys there. Yordi Reyna, decent player. Frederick Briant. So a lot of former NYCFC guy, right? Briant played for New York City, didn't he?
Yeah.
A lot of good players out there in free agency. And it's funny how much that list has grown over the years. Because when they first started free agency, not the last CBA, but the one before that, there was like two or three guys on the list. And now it's just getting longer and longer because the experience years you had to have to get in on it. But New York City, Maxi Morales out of contract. What are they going to do about that?
They're in talks of getting him another contract. So I would assume he's a club legend. So we can't send him off. But, can't do him dirty like that, especially after he buried two penalties, which was surprising to me, against New England and then Portland on Saturday. So it'll most likely be another one-year contract, and he'll probably retire as a citizen. Other news, Eber, he's been signed for another year. So he was signed for the 2022 season. Nicolas Acevedo, he's signed for the next couple of years, and Gideon Zalalem, who barely played for us, got unlucky with injuries. The club is willing to give him another chance, and you know what? I'll give him another chance as well, just to see if there's anything left in there.
Yeah, no, I hear you. All right. Anything else that that you want to talk about NYCFC wise, MLS Cup wise?
No, there's a interesting stat. more of a meme rather.
Great stat.
Since 1998, a former Red Bull player that has left the Red Bulls has won an MLS Cup with a different team. And this year is no different. Chris Gloucester came over. His loan expired from PSV. You know, Red Bulls had the rights to him, and we traded for the rights. And you know what? He came to New York City, came to the right side of New York, and you know what? He won a championship out of it.
Nice, nice. All right, man. Well, that's it for this one. Not too much to chat about. I'm interested to see what happens with the expansion draft coming up tomorrow. And we head into the off season, but as far as you know, for me, I'm taking a vacation. We got a bunch of videos coming up.
Well deserved.
The FIFA videos coming up. So we've got so far, I think I've got like 12 or 13 recorded. But I'll be releasing those every couple of days. And outside of that, I'll be taking the next two Mondays off of regular episodes until I get back from Florida. The job, the regular job, I'm taking off. This stuff I'm taking off. It's gonna be nice to completely step away for like 2 or 3 weeks. But as far as everything goes here, I just want to say Merry Christmas to all, Happy Holidays to all, and with that, we'll see you guys on the FIFA videos, and we'll see you guys in 2022. Thanks for watching. Good night.